Welcome to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. On each and every episode, Brian talks with coaches, athletes, and performers in all arenas who are putting into practice the principles of peak performance that will help you close the gap from where you are to where you want to be, to help you become a master of the mental game, and to help you start dominating the day.
Everybody, how you doing? Brian Kane, your peak performance coach here with the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. And today, we're with Dan Cimini. He's the head baseball coach and athletic director at the University Liggett School in Grosse Pointe Woods, Michigan. And Coach Cimini, I appreciate you taking time out of your busy holiday schedule to sit down and talk with us here on the podcast.
Absolutely. I love it.
Could you get us, our listeners, kind of up to speed on your career and how you got to where you are today as the head baseball coach at the University Liggett School and one of the top programs in the state of Michigan and unparalleled success in high school baseball coaching there?
Yeah, you know, I came in and they their program was right on the edge. They were only had 9 players in the program. They were about to fold it. And it was just, it was amazing that they asked me to do it. I was coaching over at Grosse Pointe South High School, where I graduated from. I took over the program. I built it up from 9 players and no JV to 35 players and a JV. And we've averaged 38 wins a year since 2004. And it's just been amazing. We've won a district title every year but one. And we just went on a 4-year run where we've made the state finals 4 years in a row. And we've won 3 state championships in 2011, 2013, and 2014 back-to-back. And then this last one we won, we moved up a division. We're the first team in the state that's ever moved up a division and won back-to-back state championships. And we're also the first team in the state that's gone to 4 straight state championship games in baseball. So it's been pretty cool to just get this program off. And where we've come is just an amazing – it's a dream come true. I can't even believe we've gotten here. But we've gotten here because I took – probably 90% of the stuff that I learned from you in Tennessee in 2011 on the mental game. And I really transformed our program into something that I could never have even guessed it has gone this well.
You know, so we initially met at the ABCA convention down in Nashville, and talk a little bit, Dan, if you would, about some of the concepts that you've taken from, you know, our time together there in Nashville and used with your program that you think have helped you to have some of the success that you've had.
Well, you know, the number one thing was is I went down there just to learn some stuff, and then when I just listened to you talk, you know, on stage, it just clicked. It just snapped, saying this is the stuff that I've got to use. And the number one thing I used is I think I put so much emphasis on winning, and I didn't think about the process. And listening to you talk about the process and practicing and doing the right things and doing all that stuff and putting all my energy and passion into that, and then the winning and stuff would take care of itself. It didn't, you know, and it took off after that. Once I started to get the kids to believe in that and believe in what we were talking about, it was awesome. It changed my coaching career. It changed my personality. I mean, I was stressed. I wanted to win so bad, obviously. And I never really took a deep breath and said, holy cow, let's focus on practicing and have fun during our games. And since the day I did that, I've been a better coach. I've been a lot less stressful, and our teams have been super successful.
When you talk about establishing a process, what are some key components of your process that you use at the Liggett School?
Well, our practice, we practice everything that we possibly want to get out of our kids in a game situation. We practice on a daily basis, from throwing strikes to fielding ground. We play a game called 27 outs where you have to make every play to get us out of the innings. Just think, you know, pickoff plays, things, you know, the strike zone is one of the things that I really work on. I don't think many coaches work on the strike zone, but they get mad at kids for swinging at bad pitches. We really learn our strike zone, make pitchers work, throw a lot of strikes and get good pitches to hit. And since we've been doing that, we've been really successful.
You know, and you've put quite a few players into Division I college baseball, and a couple of them right there at the University of Michigan with my good friend Eric Backich, who we're going to have on the podcast. What do you see in the players that you've had that have gone on to play at the Division I level or play in college baseball? What are some of the traits that you see that they have mentally that maybe some of the players who fall short of their potential don't have?
Well, I think number one is confidence. One of the things that I've really, you know, the players that I've had go on to Michigan and we've had some success in high school. I think we talk about it every single day of obviously going through the process, but being confident, expecting to do your best and competing against the game. We don't compete against other teams. You know, teams, people talk about, you know, who'd you play? I tell them who we played, but we really played against ourselves. And we played against the game of baseball. And once we've done that, we were super successful. Those kids at Michigan compete against the game. I mean, Coach Backich does an unbelievable job of motivating these kids. He's got a great personality, a great attitude. He pushes these guys to their limit, and they love that. Those guys, the cool thing was, I think they were ready for that coming out of our program.
And did you have any issues when you first came back in 2011 of trying to get your guys to buy into the mental game? Because it seems like that's one of the questions I get more than anything else is, how do I get my players to buy into the mental game? How did you do that with your guys to have so much success?
Well, one of, I would say, my best traits was I was a player in college. They respected that they knew I knew the game of baseball, and I was super passionate about it. And when I went in and I tried to talk to them about, listen, these are the things that we're going to do. Our core covenants. I had them write down core covenants. I brought back Everything Counts from that clinic. Skip Berkman's LSU Tigers used to use the saying Everything Counts, and we use that in our program ever since 2011. And you know, they bought in that immediately, and then we started talking about all the different stuff as far as, you know, team first, taking care of their homework, doing the little things that they needed to take care of to be, you know, the best baseball team we could possibly be. Put the team before themselves, and once they did that, it was just amazing as a coach. It was so much more fun to coach. Anything I said that they bought into, but then they started to do it. You know, I didn't have to start telling them stuff about the mental game. They picked it up. They talked about process versus outcome. They talked about next pitch. So what? Next pitch. They talked about all that stuff that I brought to them, and they use it on a daily basis. That's part of their verbiage. And once they did that, it was so easy to get them to buy in.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Dan, if you could go back, okay, and you're still a young guy, if you could go back to the younger Dan, right, the first year that you were coaching, what would you say to that guy now that you've been through the battle a little bit and got more experience both as a head baseball coach and football coach?
Well, I would told myself to relax. I think I was such a passionate player. I was like a Lenny Dykstra when I played. And I just wanted to win so bad, and I wanted to do anything I could on the field and off to win. And I think that was my mentality when I first started coaching. I wanted to build that program, our program, into the best program we could possibly be. I would just tell me to start looking at things differently. I looked at the outcome all the time before I looked at the process and how to do the little things and how to practice the right way and how to get that mental toughness and that mental swag and the little things that we needed to get better. I wish I would have known that right off the bat. I think our success would have happened right away.
You know, and obviously every success story, there can be no success without adversity. And I think one of the things that I got out of your email when you emailed me that was so impressive was, you know, how you dealt with some life adversity, and you know, when you were 42 years old, and how that also has kind of played into a part of your journey and your process. And one of the things you said that I look at that it's so impressive about you to me is how you said that sometimes the worst things that ever happen to us can turn out to be the best. Could you talk a little bit about that, if you would?
Absolutely. After coming back from Nashville and bringing back all the stuff that I learned from you with our team, we went on a great run. Won our first state championship since 1979. And then in October 30th, Devil's Night of 2011, I had a massive heart attack. It was the worst pain in the world in my chest. My girlfriend took me to the hospital, and within 5 minutes, I was on a table, my heart stopped. And then once my heart stopped, they hit me with the paddles, got me back alive again, and then my heart stopped one more time. They hit me again, and they revived me. And I remember it like it was yesterday. They took me in an ambulance over to a bigger hospital, did a catheterization on me, found 100% blood clot in my main widowmaker artery, and cleared that out, and here I am today. And the doctor said that 99.9% of the people that have what I have die immediately. And, you know, it was a scary, scary, scary time in my life, but it's a time that I look back at now. And it was a life-changing moment for me as a coach and me as a father, me as a person. I just look at life so differently now. And then I look back and I've talked to many, many coaches at many, many conventions and, you know, accepting, state championship awards and coach of the year awards. And the first thing I say is, you know, we need to take care of ourselves as coaches. And a lot of times we don't think about that. We're so worried about our teams and worried about our kids. I think that lifelong stress that I've had, and life and coaching stress, it caught up to me. And I take that very seriously now. So I have fun with my kids. I have fun coaching. I have a blast, just enjoying life and understanding that, you know what, I'm going to dominate the day. Like you say, every single day is going to be the best day of my life. And then when I wake up in the morning, I'm going to do the exact same thing. And that's how I've been living my life since 2011. And I've never been happier. I've never been more successful in my coaching. And I've never had such a great relationship with my kids that I do now.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I think anytime you get, you know, anytime we get to hear those stories, you know, of people overcoming adversity and you know how it changes your life. I always like to ask the question about, you know, how do you take that adversity and what message can you share through your experience to help other coaches? Because we know as you know, Dan, there's two types of experience. There's expensive and inexpensive. An expensive experience is what you learn from going through the battle yourself and making your own mistakes. An inexpensive experience is what you learn, you know, through the trials and tribulations of other people so that you can learn from their experience. And if you could, again, if there's coaches out there listening to this, what inexpensive experience, inexpensive experience for them, which would be expensive experience for you, have you learned through being that 0.1% of the people who would survive from that type of massive heart attack? What do you know now that you wish you knew then about life?
That it's precious. That, you know, every person we come in contact with, every moment that we have is a precious moment in our lives because life is really short. You know, we forget about that sometimes. And, you know, life is like you said, life is a process. And if everybody starts looking for outcomes or looking years and years down the road, you're going to miss today. And I'll tell you right now, today is the greatest day in the world. Today is the greatest day for me because I'm alive and I'm with my kids and I'm enjoying this and I'm talking to you. The greatest mental game person that I've ever even come. I can't even believe how much you have done for coaches. I don't think you even realize it. And I mean, this is one of the, these are probably one person here and myself. There's probably a million more that have listened to you or changed what they've done in their lives. And the outcome is fantastic. And to get that from you before I had this, you know, tragedy or almost tragedy happen to me. It was a great thing for me because I was so relaxed and so calm leading up to that. I could have probably had a heart attack maybe during that run in the state championship in 2011. So a lot of the things that I learned from you and a lot of things that I've learned as in the last 4 years coaching has made me a better person and it kept me calm and kept me alive and the experiences I would say for any other coaches, look in the mirror, take a deep breath, don't take everything so seriously, have fun with the kids that you're coaching, have fun with the job that you have, because you never know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Man, well said. I don't think I could say it better. And man, I need to hear that myself. That's good information right there, Dan. I appreciate you sharing that, man. If there's coaches out there that want to follow up with you, because this is going to be one of the best podcasts that we've had. If there's coaches out there that want to follow up with you about the mental game or have questions, you know, or want you to come in and maybe speak at their coaches clinic, are you on Twitter or is there an easy way for people to get a hold of you?
My email is dcimini, so dcimini at ulsandsam.org. That would be easy. I mean, heck, I could call my cell phone. Now send me a text. That would be great too. I'm open to talk to anybody. If I could help anybody in this world, just kind of figure out the things that I've figured out in my coaching career and help people kind of just take a good look in the mirror and go to the doctor and make sure things are okay whenever you feel something little, because you never know, you know, it could be the last day you're here. So,
yeah, there's no question there. And I would echo that advice, you know, for coaches and athletic directors. You've been an athletic director yourself. I sat in that chair for 7 years and just lost one of the best men in the world and a good friend of mine within the last 2 weeks because of a heart attack. So I think, you know, making sure that – are there things that you do now in terms of different exercise or different maybe nutrition things that you do to try to make sure that you stay heart healthy?
Yeah, you know, I used to teach Tai Bo back when I was in my early to mid-20s. And so I do Tai Bo every morning. I do about a half hour of Tai Bo to music and just kind of get my heart rate going. And then I'm still super active with my kids when I coach. I mean, I'm one of those coaches, I'm hands-on. You know, I'm one of those coaches that believe that if I'm going to tell them something, I have to show them. I have to show them that I can do it. I'm still young enough to be able to do that. Thank God that I was able to pull through full strength and be able to still, you know, hit guys throwing 90 and, you know, throw the ball as hard as I can and still compete with my team. So I do that on a regular basis. So which is great for me. I love to be able to get out there with them. And I still am a player's coach. I coach like I used to play. And so my intensity is through the roof.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Well, Dan, I appreciate you making time to sit down with us here. I'm sure people will be following up with you, and best of luck to you and the men that you're leading there at the University Liggett School in pursuit again of another championship. And as you well know, and for our listeners, make sure that you're building champions like Coach Samini is. And when you build those champions, the championships will take care of themselves.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for listening to the Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast. Please make sure that you visit briankane.com, that's briankane.com, and sign up for my Monday message, where every Monday I deliver straight to your inbox videos, interviews, articles, tips, techniques, and strategies that you can use to master the mental game. You can also contact me through my website on our Contact Us page and see my calendar of where I'm going to be in the country and when I'm coming to your area, so that we can get together and that we can continue to go out there and dominate the day.
The Brian Kane Peak Performance Podcast is part of the Top Coach Network. This is a production of Corn Belt Sports.